I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. God has given our church a huge vision. He's leading us to be a catalyst to bring God's blessing and influence to Southern Arizona and to strategic locations around the world. We're part of a movement of God that began after Jesus rose from the dead. The first 9 chapters of the book of Acts show how the power of the Holy Spirit helped the church become an unstoppable force in the face of all kinds of obstacles and oppositions. The early church, and our church today, is to be an unstoppable force for good that will make a difference. It's my prayer that as you listen, you'll find your part in this mission that's bigger than what any of us can do alone.
Glenn Bartow is the senior pastor at Casas Church, one of the really great, healthy churches here in Tucson.
And this is Glenn Elliott, the lead pastor at Pantano Christian, which is also a phenomenal church here in Tucson. And here recently, I think we've really noticed a need here in Tucson. You know, Midtown in Tucson is a place that needs a contemporary, dynamic church that's really focused on that kingdom mission of expanding God's kingdom, of reaching it with the purposes and the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's something that we've really enjoyed about Pantano.
And because we're in this together, we can launch a really healthy church that'll be able to be self-sustaining and be able to immediately, from the day of launch, be able to have an impact in their community. And that's incredible. What we want to do is we want to launch Element City Church together. Together providing the resources, the people, that's necessary to launch this really healthy church midtown called Element City Church. And we are so excited that God's presence and God's people are going to make a difference in the part of town that is in such need of us, that spiritual revival that we believe that this vibrant group of people can bring.
Hello, I'm Brian Lee. I've been a pastor of Pantano Christian for 7 years. And I'm Jack Scholl. I'm the associate teaching pastor at Casas, but getting set to go take off on an adventure with my buddy Brian. God gave us a vision of planting a church or a community in Midtown Tucson to really reach people that are spiritually separated from Him or didn't know Him. And now, as Elements has grown to a very healthy space, we just needed, there were some pieces missing. There were some pieces that were missing that I couldn't do in my skills or that the team couldn't do that we needed some help with. And so I'm super excited to have Jack and Casas come alongside us so that we can reach the kingdom in Tucson.
And I'm also super excited because, you know, Brian and I have been friends for a long time, 15-plus years doing youth ministry things across our city here, and go back a long time. Our families have been in small groups together, and it's just a joy to come alongside and be a part of that piece of the puzzle of what God's doing through Element City Church, getting ready to launch back into an area and a region of the city that is in desperate need of the light of Jesus to shine brightly and to bring hope. In fact, that's one of our statements, that we want to bring the hope of Jesus to the heart of the city. So we invite you to pray with us, to be a part of this adventure alongside what God's doing here in the city.
Help us bring the hope of Jesus to the heart of the city.
We are so very excited about what God is doing in our midst. It is a story that we couldn't have written ourselves. It is a story that is filled with God's power, God's moving, God's creativity, and it is so exciting to see what God is doing for our city, to bring two large churches together, to work together, to be on the same page, to say we want to reach the lost in an area of the city where healthy churches have left. And we want to be a part of that. And for another church to trust us with resources, with their people, with their staff. Jack's been here all of 9 days now. He's doing great so far. We'll see how the next 9 days go, but it's great.
That's fair.
Jack's going to be preaching this morning, so you get an idea of who he is and get an idea of what Elements is going to be all about. So, Brian, tell us a little more.
Well, thanks, Roger. I just want to give you guys a little bit of a timeline so you guys know if you are new to this, you're watching this video, and you're like, wait a second, what is this all about? Well, I'm a native Tucsonan, and about 12 years ago, God gave me a vision and a prompting that He wanted a spiritual place in the Midtown Tucson, a place where people could know Him. And So I didn't think anything of that. I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, that'd be great. And then a couple years after that, I got invited to be part of a group of young pastors that were mentored by, at that time, the senior pastor at Cassis, which was Roger Barrier, and the senior pastor here at Pantano, Tim Koop. And as a young pastor, being in the room with those gentlemen, I learned a ton. Not knowing exactly what that would mean, after that meeting, about 2 years later, I came on staff here at Pantano. So I've been here for 7 years. 4 years, we have started Elements. So Elements has been going on for 4 years. It's been growing. It's been thriving. We've been meeting in town hall. And now I get to stand on the stage with one of my good friends of 15 years, going back to that 12-year vision of planning a spiritual spot, a place where people can know who God is in Midtown Tucson. I grew up in Midtown, but the beauty of that is that all wouldn't happen if two leaders of Pantano Christian Church and Cassis Church wouldn't have come together in a friendship and wouldn't come together and realize that their roles was to leverage the kingdom in God, for God, through their relationships and through their churches. And that relationship started way back. And now we are just a small blip on that history of that relationship with Tim and Roger. And now Glenn are letting us go farther and farther into that vision with God as Jack and I take it to Midtown.
It's an amazing story that, go ahead, it's worth clapping for. You know, Brian, it's been a joy, I think, for Amy and I to be with you and Kimberly, and just to even think about the remote possibility of this. And we've been friends with Pantano at Casas for a long time, and I know Glenn have a great, in fact, I remember sitting in the restaurant, just a couple months ago, and we actually pitched this idea, and they both said, let's do it. And I thought, unbelievable for two churches to come together have you seen that? I haven't seen that. And so it's just a joy to be a part of that. And for Elements now to launch from a service into a full-fledged church in Midtown, and we're going to be a people that are inviting people into the life-giving, life-changing relationship with Jesus. That's our heartbeat. That's what we're going to be about. And we're excited to do that and excited for your partnership and prayer and for however that may look and how God might steer you and stir you to be a part of that.
Pantano, we believe that the local church is the hope of the world. 6 years ago, we got together and we launched Vail Christian Church. 600 people. They have 10 acres in escrow. They're getting ready to purchase that property and continue to grow and to move and make a difference in their neighborhood. 4 years ago, a little over that, 4.5 years ago, we started a second campus down in Sierra Vista. They just moved into their property this summer. They're growing. They're reaching their community. It's a dynamic place. And now, here we are about to launch number 3. And be a part of that. So that's who we are. That's what we do. We want to see the hope of Jesus go to our world. And so that's what we're a part of. I want to ask you to stand up with me, and we're going to pray over Brian and Jack and the Elements community and what is happening. This last weekend, last Sunday night, there was over 200 people already on Sunday night for the Elements. They are ready to go. And so we want to, it's very exciting. Let's pray. God, I just thank you that your story, how you write your story, is so creative. We couldn't do it. We couldn't imagine it, how you put things together. And God, in the midst of that, we celebrate Jack and we celebrate Brian, their friendship, their relationship. We ask your blessing upon them. We ask your blessing upon Cassis and Pantano as we go in this together to see your kingdom come to the center of town. God, may you be, we know you are in this, and may you be glorified. May the situations, the details that we continue to get to see, just cause us to rise up and praise your name, knowing that we couldn't have done it. It is about you and about your movement, about your spirit within us. It's because you care for us, you love us, you desire to bring the hope of Jesus to the world. Thank you, God, for letting us be a part of it. Continue to encourage us, each one of us, Father, that we can be a part of your movement, be in tune with your spirit to watch your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Glad that you're here. If you're a guest here at Pantano, so am I. So glad that you're here. And, it's a great thing Glenn is off skiing and he's having a great time. And he needs to have a great time and get some rest. So I'm happy to just be able to be a part of your service with you and for us to kind of go on a journey together today, kind of continuing this series, Unstoppable, that Gwen began last week. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn to Acts chapter 2. Now, if you're new to the Bible and kind of new to church and kind of getting back into it, you know there's four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel accounts that tell the story of Jesus, kind of tracking what his life and his ministry was like. And Luke wrote one of those, the Gospel of Luke, and the follow-up to that, he kind of wrote the sequel, so to speak, and he was inspired to write the gospel, kind of what we almost consider a gospel, the book of Acts, which kind of dictates the story of the church and the launching of the church. And as you're finding that, let me ask you a simple question. Just raise your hand. How many of you have ever tried something new? Yeah. Yeah, maybe it was a new restaurant, maybe it was a new food item, maybe you traveled overseas, you tried a new food, and you said, hey, I can't wait to get home. Maybe it was a new vacation spot, maybe it was a new hobby that you took up, and you had the curve of just trying to learn things and go with that. Here's what I do know to be true. No matter what new thing you have tried, there's a universal truth. It was different. And I know some of you are like, wow, preacher guy, that is amazing. That took me a long time to come up with. No. The truth is, anything new is different. And there's all kinds of feelings that come with something being new and different, isn't it? Imagine with me, you're one of those early followers of Jesus. And for 3 years of your life, you have walked around and following this guy, Jesus. You didn't know the day's agenda because the agenda changed. It was crazy every single day, something different and something new. But you knew who to look to because he was there. And now things have changed. There's something new. He's ascended back to heaven. And what he said to you in the closing words, this is what Glenn kind of looked at last week, is you're going to go into all the world. You're going to go and you're going to be my witnesses. But first, I want you to wait. Waiting was new. Waiting was different. And so these early followers are waiting for something. They don't even know totally what. Their world has changed because the person they look to just isn't in the room anymore. And so they're waiting for something new. And so in Acts chapter 2, we read these words. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues, in languages, as the Spirit enabled them to do. What? That's new. That's different, isn't it? And so they're waiting for something, and the beginnings of the entire church are found in this moment. There's been a gathering of Jesus' followers for a while. There's a tradition of Judaism that's kind of maybe part of their backdrop, but the beginning of the church is completely new and different and radical in a way. Don't you love studying kind of the beginnings of things? Maybe the beginnings of our, how many of you have any kind of Apple product, an iPod, iPad, an iMac, or whatever kind of iThing you got? You got some of this. You ever study how Apple began, how it started? Much like another guy, you know, he's kind of famous too, Bill Gates. He did all right with himself, didn't he? And they all started where? In their garage. This beginning little tiny thing. Anyone ever been to Chick-fil-A? And maybe you've been there and you start to study the history of the Caffey family and you realize they were in business for 15 years before they ever invented this notion of redoing the chicken sandwich. Do you know their first restaurant was in a suburban mall? And as of the end of last year, they had just shy of 1,700 restaurants across 38 states. Remember your pair of tennis shoes that has this little tiny swoosh on the side of it? Maybe you've heard of them. Do you know what Phil Knight paid Caroline to design that little swoosh? $35. She got hosed. Now maybe he worked out some other deal. But Phil Knight began to sell Nike shoes out of the back of his car. You begin to study the beginnings of things and so many different examples, and so many different examples of beginnings that didn't make it. But what you do see, you study Jim Collins and these studies of businesses and organizations that made it a long time, and you realize there was a long struggle that began with very small beginnings, a great idea, and things just began, and it took a long time. Now picture this. The church started differently. At the end of Peter's very first sermon, you can read the rest of Acts chapter 2. 3,000 people joined the church in the movement of Jesus, because the church is the most prominent vehicle of God in this world. It is the deliverer of grace and hope in the message of Jesus Christ. And it is the one Jesus said, I will build my church. And he started off pretty good. That's three of these buildings. Imagine that. It's this amazing opportunity that the church begins, an amazing story. It's interesting to begin to see the beginnings of this church, and it begins with a bang. And in Acts chapter 2, we begin to see the beginnings of this church in a way that sets us forth on a journey that maybe has some insights for us today. At the day of Pentecost, something happened. Pentecost, if you don't know that word, let me kind of give you a little bit of background on that. It was tied to one of the Jewish festivals, the Harvest Festival, and it happened about 50 days after Passover. So after the crucifixion, about 50 days after, so Jesus has ascended back to heaven, something happened in that moment. And remember, Jesus was saying to his early followers, hey, it's good for me to go away. Are you kidding me? We know what to do when you're in the room. And now you're going away, and it's going to be new. It's going to be different. We don't quite know. And he says, no, it's good for you that I go away. Because when I do, I can send the Spirit to be with you, not just around you, but in you and in each one of you. And he will direct you and guide you in what to say. And he will remind you of what I said. And he will convict and call people to me. And he will point people to me. Why did Jesus send the Holy Spirit? It's really simple. Because he knew we needed something that we did not have. We needed power. And power matters, doesn't it? Anyone ever been in a house where the electricity went out? It mattered to you then, didn't it? I remember a few years ago, this guy drove home to me as we were the cool parents. And we went to that one amusement park, you know, like the happiest place on earth. And we had all of our kids there. And maybe you've been there. And sometimes it doesn't feel like the happiest place on earth, but you kind of slug through it. And because it's an amazing thing, you're building memories, you keep telling yourself. And so you go through this whole entire ordeal. And it's an awesome time and moments. And then you go out to the garage, of which you're parked on the fifth or sixth level. And you have closed out the park because you're those parents. And your kids won't remember this, but you've done it for them, and you pile everybody in, and you get them all in their pajamas, you're getting ready to head back to the hotel, you get in the car, you turn the key, and nothing happens. Oh, is that not the worst feeling in the world? You've been there. And in that moment, it doesn't matter how many passerbys come by your car with your hood up and say, hey, hope it works out. Hey, you're an awesome family, closing the park, yeah. Hey, good for you, you're a good-looking family, yay. It doesn't matter how much good advice or how much good encouragement you get in that moment. If someone doesn't come by with good power, you're stuck. And you sit there in a defeated, deflated reality. True? And so Jesus says, it's good for me to go away. Because I can send you something that you need. See, friends, good advice without power isn't really good news. It's just news. It's just advice. The scripture is full of good advice that we cannot carry out on our own. That's the certainty that's driven home in the Old Testament in the giving of the law. Remember the giving of the law? Hey, here's how things are going to work. Here's how we're going to relate one to another, God says. And about 50 days after they've led out of Exodus and led out of Egypt, and they're on this journey, and it's 50 days after Passover, there's another divine delivery that we see in scriptures. And there's this divine delivery of the precepts and the principles of God and how we're to relate to him. And God says, here's what it is. And the people say, well, we can't hear God. Like, that's too scary. Moses, you go and listen to God on our behalf, and you come and tell us what he said. And so Moses brings the law. And you remember, here's the law. Here's what we're to be, and here's how we're to live. And they can't even make it past the mountain without breaking something. Can they? Because what was delivered in that moment was precepts and principles, not power. It was up to our effort and our energy and our willpower. And what you see throughout the pages of the Old Testament is it doesn't matter how strict and devout you are. You pursue after following God in your own power and your own strength, and you will come to one conclusion. Defeat. It's impossible to live up to the standards of a holy God and to live the way that you were designed and created to live in your own effort. We are unable and we are powerless to fulfill that law. So you fast forward to the New Testament, and Jesus had this sermon that he gave a lot called the Sermon on the Mount. You can read it in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And you start reading through those words, and if you're just honest, you look at it and you go, how in the world can anyone live like this? Because it's so noble and it's so profound. And yet, even when you commit yourself to it, don't you find yourself falling short of that? I do. And what you realize very quickly is that these early followers of Jesus needed something, and Jesus said, I'm going to send you something that you do not have. Because Jesus knew we didn't need more principles and more precepts. We needed power. We needed the power to live. And you read through the book of Acts and you begin to see that this divine delivery that happened at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 is Jesus saying, now I'm going to give you what you need. The hope of following Jesus rests in the power God gives us to even follow Jesus. It's not in our effort. We live in obedience and in alignment with allowing the Spirit to guide us to live and become more like Jesus. But it's not in our own energy. It's not in our own willpower. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you power because that's what you need. And so, friends, are you staying connected to his power? That's the role of the Holy Spirit, is to remind you of what he said, to empower you to live more and more like Jesus this year than last year. To walk with him, to stay in alignment with him. You begin to see more and more of the story unfold. You look here at verse 4 again. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit enabled, so much so that something happened in this moment and a crowd of people began to gather around wherever they were when this took place. Now, staying in Jerusalem, verse 5, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven began to hear this sound, and then in bewilderment they came forward and began to see in utter amazement what was going on. And then each of them hears in their own native tongue, in their own native language. They begin to hear the story of Jesus, and something profound happens in this moment. These are the very people that 55 days earlier were either yelling, crucify him, or just ignoring the whole ordeal. And something happened, friends, at the beginning of the church, as the power of God shows up in people who are just saying, God, we're waiting on you. We are living with a holy anticipation on you. And God begins to use them. And in this moment, God personalizes his message for these people. And friends, God is still in the business of personalizing his message for you, for me. That his scriptures are alive and active. They're able to divide. They're able to penetrate hearts. Your heart, my heart, your friend's heart, your family's heart, people that are far from God. It's amazing how God is still always in the business of personalizing his story and his hope and his grace and his pull of mercy to people. And if you're here today, and maybe church is kind of new on the horizon for you, and you're just kind of getting back into it, I want to tell you, I'm so proud of you for being here. And I hope that somewhere in today and in the weeks to come, that God's personalized message for you reaches your ear and touches your heart to pull you closer to him, because he loves you And isn't it awesome that the creator of the universe didn't leave his message and his story somewhere up high and lofty where we had to climb up and try to interpret it? He actually personalized it for each one of us right where we are. And that his power is alive and active to look toward us. See, the church is launched from a people of God declaring that God is for all people. The church is a place for people, not just Christians and people who have it all together, but a place for people regardless of their past, their mistakes, their race, their age, or any label that could be put on them or they put on themselves. The church is for them. The church is for me. It's for you. It's the movement of Jesus that says all are welcome and all have a hope available to them and all are worthy of God's pursuit because he sent his son to say that. The church is a place for people, and more specifically, it's a place where they can come and to hear the life-changing, life-giving message of a sinless, crucified, resurrected Savior who offers forgiveness to all who call on his name. Because he is where the power's at. It's not in our own abilities, in our own settings, our own scripts, our own talents. Those are good things, and God gave them to you. Use them. But if all we needed was to harness our own talents and abilities, and all we needed was to understand more precepts and more principles, then God wouldn't have given us what we really needed, which is his power. The Holy Spirit alive in every believer, leading and guiding and pulling them to be more and more in alignment with him. So you read through Acts chapter 2 and through the rest of the story of Acts and the beginnings of the church, and you have this sense of adventure. Do you have adventure in your life? Or has your life become so predictable that the power is missing? That's a question only you can answer. And I can't help but read through the scriptures and see that there's this constant pull toward adventure with God. The church is the movement of Jesus, and it is still on the move today, friends. It's in the move around the corner of your house, in your neighbor's house, and in their life. Are you with in attunement with God that you can partner with him in that? It's alive and active and on the move in the cubicle down the hall, in the classroom down the hallway of your school. It's alive and active. See, God is the creator and architect of the beginning. That's Genesis 1. God is the creator and the architect of the beginning of the church. That's Acts chapter 1 and 2. And God is the creator and architect of constant new beginnings for your life and for the people around you. He is constantly on the move. You know, for Amy and I, we've been married 18 years now. Been back on staff at Casas for the last 15 years. I grew up there. Been around that church and around Tucson for a long time, moved here in the late 70s, have a passion for the city. What you don't know about me is I was probably the shyest kid you'd ever meet in grade school and elementary school. Used to hide behind my mom and bawl when I met new people or ever in front of people. I have a picture of my kindergarten graduation on a stage with tears streaming down my face in fear of being in front of people. In high school, God called me into ministry. The last thing in the world I wanted to do. My uncle and my grandfather were pastors, and I remember playing golf with my uncle, and he said, "Hey, have you ever thought about ministry?" And I was like, "No way." What you don't know is all of the people God has brought across my path who have mentored me and poured into me, the schooling that I've had the opportunity to go to and achieve, and just investment after investment and friendship after friendship and connection around this city after connection. And a couple of years ago, Amy and I feeling like there's just something different. I had a good job, but there's just something that God's stirring And I don't even know what it is. And I remember having lunches with Glenn Elliott and him asking me things. And I remember walking away from those lunches and saying, no, it's not the right time. And no, and just God at work somewhere. And then something happened. And we kept praying, God, if you need us somewhere else, you direct it. We're not going to go looking for anything. And to get a phone call after a couple phone calls and to realize how dominoes begin to fall and story begins to develop. And friends, to see two churches, not just talking nice, but actually playing nice together. Let's be honest. That doesn't happen, does it? And yet it is. And we're a part of it. And we're a part of the story of what started with 12 people in a room and it's growing exponentially and growing and beginning to find movement and God surprising us with grace after grace in a moment of his power over and over. It's the movement of what you've seen in a couple launches already. And it's the movement of the church bringing the hope of Jesus to the world. That's what we get to be a part of, day in and day out, and wherever God has for you to be a part of that. See, history proves that God is alive and active, and his spirit is not containable. It is not controllable. It is not able to be limited. It's kind of like this. I'm sure moving into flu season, you've heard of Alka-Seltzer, and you kind of seen the commercials, and you know things about it. And the truth is, I have Alka-Seltzer here, and I can put it in there, and it really doesn't do anything. It floats, we could say that. But that's not what it was created to do. But if I take Alka-Seltzer, and I put it the way it was created, and it gets released in a way, then the power of it is at work. Isn't that the church sometimes? Isn't that you? Me, sometimes. God, I want you to be in my life. I want your Holy Spirit, but I want your presence, but I don't want your power. In fact, I want to package you up in a way that I can control you, that I know how things are going to play out, and I can see the future. And God says, no. You don't understand. See, what I gave you back at Pentecost is what I give you on Monday and on Tuesdays and on the Thursdays of your life. And what you need is for me to be released in you. Not just present, but my power at work in you and through you. And friends, I want that for you. You want this for you. You want to be able to wake up and say, God, use my life. Let me stay active with you. Unpackage God's power and the gift of his Holy Spirit because it was given to you. You are not powerless. You are filled with power. And the power of the creator of everything and anything is alive and active in you. Live that way. So what does that begin to look like? What is God saying to you? You know, is there a new relationship that he wants to leverage in a way that maybe he's stirring up connections and opportunities for you to leverage and bring his grace and his hope to bear in that relationship or in that partnership with maybe some business partners or whatever that may be for you? Is he stirring a new friendship or a new opportunity that's in front of you that he wants to say, hey, I'm at work in this person's life and they don't even know it, but I want to actually share my story through you. And so would you be open to it? Would you listen? And would you respond? And that those who wait upon the Lord and upon his hope, they are renewed. And so would you live this way? You know, is God calling you to be a part of the Element City Church? A church that's saying, hey, we want to bring the hope of Jesus to the heart of our city. And so many churches that are either dwindling or have left in a part of our city that needs Jesus. And people invited into a life-giving, life-changing relationship with him. What's God saying to you, friends? Because he's saying something. He's alive and active. His power is released. And he personalizes his message and his calling to his people still today. So here's what I'd like to do is close our time here with a moment of reflection and maybe some space for you to think and to pray. Dave's written a song that I think is a beautiful song that just speaks of asking God to fill us again. And so maybe can we just lean into a moment where as a church we're saying, God, in the 21st century, in this part of Tucson, Arizona, we want to be a church and a people who are refilled again, released to be in partnership with you. Because here's the beauty. A people who live with a holy anticipation on God, well, He will deliver opportunities to be actively participating with Him. If you're a server with us, we'll move toward communion at the end of this song, and you're welcome to do that during the song. But just allow you to have some space, maybe make this a moment of prayer for you. God, stir me anew. What is God saying to you?
We lift you up. Let your will be done in us right now. We give it all, yeah.
Thanks, Dave. So Peter gets up in this sermon, and he says, and he begins to quote from the Old Testament. He says, in these last days, God's still at work. He's still in the move. And he's pouring out his spirit on young and old. Because God's not done working yet. And as the spirit is poured out, he begins to say, it's to point people to where the power is. Because that's the thing they're missing. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friends, saved people save people. They live their life on mission with God. In small ways and in big ways, they live with this holy anticipation that God is going to deliver opportunities for us to be in active partnership with Him. Through His power, not our effort, not our energy. It's all from Him. And so, as we remember Jesus in communion here, we remember His life, His death, His resurrection, to seal the deal. Forgiveness of sins, a relationship with God who all who call on His name, and a power for everyday life, for the struggles that you have, and to live on mission with Him. So, Father, as we take communion, as we give of our gifts to You and the advancement of Your kingdom here, stir us. Pour Your Spirit alive and afresh and anew for new beginnings. Father, may we see You at work. May we always be anchored to You. May we always remember the beauty of You. Meet us here today.